have it in the head, you get it in the feet.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome this morning to Clement Message Church. We're glad you're with us in person. And those watching online, we want to welcome you this morning also. Just a few announcements is that September, it's hard to believe, is just 2 days away, which means that the fall is here. And just some reminders about the fall, that on September the 8th, we'll be having the fellowship meal at 6 o'clock here every Wednesday. So come and join us for a time like we had the church picnic last Sunday, a great time together of fellowshipping and talking. Join us every Wednesday night for the same thing. The food's provided. Come, join us, hang out, talk, fellowship, catch up, laugh. Have a great time like we did this past Sunday at the church picnic. So we hope that you'll join us on September the 8th at 6 p.m. Everybody's welcome, no matter who you are. Bring a friend, bring somebody that's in the community, bring a neighbor. We hope to see you then. Also, on September the 19th is our Back to Church Sunday, and that'll be a special Sunday here at Columbia Methodist Church, as we'll be getting, kind of kicking off a new sermon series there that week. But we'll also have some giveaways for everybody in attendance that day, and the kids that might be here and the teens that'll be here will give out Bibles to them if they don't have a Bible during the service, so that'll be part of the worship service. And like I said, we have some wonderful things that, for that day to give away, and a potluck luncheon right afterwards that day as well, just to continue to get together and come together back to church and just kind of getting back in the swing of things. Also, just a reminder that we are in need of money counters and bus drivers. If you can count or drive the bus one Sunday or two Sundays a month, please let me know, and I'll give you more information about that. And also, the prayer cards this morning. The green prayer cards in your pew, if you fill them out, or prayer request or joy. And this morning, as Tyler is going to be walking down with the offering, if you have one, just hold it up and get Tyler's attention. He'll bring that forward for me, and that way I'll have it this morning as well. And also this morning, you've heard of matching grants, right? That if an individual raises so much money, then somebody will match it. Well, we're kind of going to have a matching pastoral grant this morning. So here's a challenge for the congregation. That if we get 7 people to sing in the choir, starting in November, then I will sing in the choir as well. So that is the pastoral matching grant this morning. That is a challenge for you, that we need 7 people at least to sing in the choir. Practices will start in November, and if we get 7 people to join the choir, then I will sing in the choir as well. And if you know me, that is really stepping out of my comfort zone, getting up front and singing in front of people. But that's a challenge I want to lay forth to you this morning, is that you have until November the 1st to get 7 people together so we can have a choir, and then I will sing in the choir, not just once a month, but whenever the choir sings, I will join with the choir and sing with the choir as well. So that's your challenge this morning. At this time, if there's any kids, you can head out to Kids Only Worship. And we're glad you're with us this morning, and you guys will have a great time learning and growing. And let us now prepare our hearts as we stand, and let us begin for worship this morning.
I'd like to read from Psalm 100.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So please stand as we join together in joyfully worshiping our Lord. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, calls us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. And we celebrate his faithfulness to us. Think of how he's been faithful to you this past week.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
Come on, sing it out.
And great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today.
Please be seated. Now, again, going back to the pastoral challenge, getting seven individuals to sing the choir. If you get seven individuals before November, we'll start the choir before November. But I'm giving you a November the 1st deadline. But if you get seven people together before then, we'll start the choir then. So seven people between now and October, or now and November. And if you get them early, we'll start the choir early, and I will join with them. At this time, Tyler, if you will bring the offering plate forward, and as he's coming forward this morning, if you have a green prayer card, just wave it in the air, and he'll take it and give it to me this morning. And as Tyler is coming down this morning, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for prayer. Thank you. Let us pray together this morning. Lord God Almighty, we come before you now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are. Lord, there's a lot of concerns on our heart this morning. There are concerns for the soldiers that are in Afghanistan and civilians and other individuals that are still trying to get out. There are concerns because of what is going on over there and trying to protect the troops and protecting the individuals trying to get out of Afghanistan. We also want to be praying for those military individuals that have lost their lives trying to protect others in Afghanistan. We pray for their families as they are dealing with the loss of a son, a husband, or a father, that you would be with them, that you would lift them up, and that you would grant them peace, God, and that you would carry them through this difficult time as they mourn the loss of an individual who said, I will give my life to protect others. We also want to be praying for those in the path of Hurricane Ida, especially New Orleans, where they're saying that the storm surge can be so high that it's going to be unlivable for a month or a couple months, Lord. Be with those individuals that are down there along that coastline, especially the Louisiana coastline, that you would be with them and protect them, and that you would give them the resources they need, Lord, to recover and to be able to sustain themselves during this hurricane that they have not seen since the 1800s. That is this powerful and strong. And God, we come before you this morning and we thank you for allowing us to be in your house of worship. And we ask, God, that you would pour out your blessing upon this offering, Lord, that as we come and we give our thanks to you and showing gratitude for what you've done, we ask, God, you would bless our offering, that it would continue to go to serve your community as we take Christ to those here in the community. And God, we also pray for our service today that you would guide us and direct us, that you would be of us, and that your Spirit would flow upon us and fill us this morning. Amen. This morning, as we continue to worship, and let us continue to prepare ourselves, let us join in the Lord's Prayer together this morning. For our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us continue to worship.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird, north star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God His own doth tend and nourish, in His holy courts they flourish, from all evil things He spares them, in His mighty arms He bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, all their sorrows all He knoweth. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children ne'er forsaketh. His loving purpose solely to preserve
. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test."
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left, and angels came and attended him.
Please stand again as we sing our song for this sermon series, "Lord, I Need You."
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without fall apart, 'cause you're the one that guides my heart.
Tell him you need him this morning.
Lord, I need Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Lord, I need you.
And Lord, I need you. Oh,
temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay,
my hope and stay.
Lord, I need you. Oh,
can be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Just a note, I've gotten some questions about what is the significance of the lights on the left and the right-hand side of me. There is no significance. It's just a way to give color to the sanctuary. So you've been wondering, well, what's the significance of the lights? There really is no significance. It's just the fact of trying to give a little color to the front of the sanctuary here for those of you that have been wondering about, well, what's the meaning of the lights? So let us begin to pray this morning. And let us go to God and prepare our hearts for what He has for us to hear today from Him. So Lord God, we come now before You and ask that You take away all of our distractions. We ask, God, that You help us to focus on You this morning, that we would hear You speak to us. We pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in Your sight, O God. Amen. If you're visiting today or you haven't been here in a while, we've been doing a sermon series on temptation. And just to kind of give you a quick wrap-up of things, we've been talking about how the first week that when we give in to temptation, temptation wins, and we're the ones who loses. That when we say yes to temptation, that we're the ones who has to deal with the consequences and the fallout from giving in to temptations when it happens to our life and the decisions we make. We talked about the feelings that we go through when we experience temptation. We talked about how to fit in last week and trying to fit in, whether that's in church, your job, your community, or your family, and the temptation of trying to fit in and how we don't have to fit in because God loves us just the way we are and we fit in with Him. And today, as we wrap up our series together, we're going to be looking at some practical ways here from Scripture as far as how we can overcome and just say no to temptation. That as we try to live a better life, that we can say no based upon what Scripture tells us. So when we look this morning, I think there are some truths that when it comes to temptation, one of those truths is that temptation is an opportunity to do or get good things in a bad way. That temptation is a way to say, you can have good things, but in order to get those good things, you have to do it in a bad way. I mean, if you think about it, we all have legitimate needs in our life that we need filled. We have needs for clothing, shelter, and food. We all have needs. It doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're young or whether you're old. I have three teenage boys. I know what that's like with needs and wants and desires. I know what it's like to sit there and have the temptation to say, well, why not? How come? But the thing is, we're all different and our temptations are different. We all don't like the same music. We all don't have the same style of music or worship. We all don't like sports. We all don't like certain vegetables or certain fruits or whatever. And therefore, because we're all different, our temptations are different, then none of us are faced with the same exact temptation because we're all different. But we still have those needs or those desires or those wants that still come before us. The desires to have things that we don't need in our lives. Things that we covet. Things that we say, boy, it'd be so nice if I could just have that. You see, you and I are trying to find happiness the wrong way. We're trying to find that significance like we spoke about last week in acceptance and security. We try to find it with money, friendships, family, church, sports, whatever it might be. But what happens is that we realize that in order to get those things, we have to give up something, which means that we're giving in to sin because it's called coveting something we don't have. We're not alone in temptation. You see, you might say, well, Pastor Tom, I'm not like you. You don't have the same struggles. You're right. I don't have the same struggles. Well, Pastor Tom, you're a pastor. You never struggle with temptations. You have everything together. Well, let me tell you, Pastor Tom doesn't have it all together, and Pastor Tom struggles with temptation just as much as you do. We all do. We struggle with time, anger, bitterness, self-centeredness, lying, envy, temptations that come to us in different ways. And so this morning, I want to give us three action steps on how to overcome those temptations. So again, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in chapter 4 of Matthew, using that as our text this morning, the temptation of Jesus. And I think what we need to remember, first of all, is that we have to have this battle plan like Jesus did to overcome temptation. That Jesus didn't sit there and overcome temptation on a whim. No, he had a battle plan. He knew when temptation faced him what he was going to do. The first thing we need to do is we need to determine the source of our temptation. Where is our temptation coming from, and why are we being tempted in such a way? See, so many times we don't want to acknowledge that we're being tempted, and what we'll do is we'll say, it's not me, it's somebody else. We'll blame other people for the temptation. That when we're tempted, we'll say, well, it's God's fault that I'm being tempted. When we're tempted and we do things we're not supposed to do, we'll say, well, it's the pastor's fault. Or we'll say, it's my wife's fault, or my husband's fault, or my kid's fault, or my teacher's fault. That when it comes to temptation, we need to stop and realize, is it coming from individuals that are pushing our buttons and we just say, you know what, I can't take it anymore, and we give in to temptation? Or do we recognize that temptation is coming from something outward of that and recognizing, well, what is the temptation? Is the temptation my anger? Is the temptation my frustration? What is the temptation I'm being faced with? You see, we cannot say, as the Bible here says, no one who wants to do wrong should say, God is tempting me, because it's God that is not tempting me. That the temptation comes from the lure of evil desires. The lure of evil desires. Now, I don't know how many of you are in here fishermen, but think of fishing for a second. Now, if you think of a lure has hooks on them. And that when you put it out there, that you're hoping a fish is going to catch on the hook because they're going to be enticed by that lure that you throw into the lake or the pond or wherever, and that maybe you'll get a bite. And then we pull them in and we reel them in and we either throw them back or we keep them and we eat them. You see, we need to recognize what the lure is. That we are basically fish in a big pond and Satan is casting out, trying to catch us with the lures. He's trying to hook us so that we'll get on that hook on that lure and be pulled out of our relationship with God. You see, you think about fishing, and individuals say, well, the fish that get caught in the lure are the dumb fish. Well, my boys love fishing, and we've gone fishing several times. I do not like fishing because I am not patient enough for fishing, that I cannot just sit there and wait and wait and wait, that I threw my rod out there and cast it, that I want something right away, immediately. But my boys are just content just sitting out there and waiting. And when they catch something, the excitement on their face comes because, like, we got somebody. We got a fish. Let's reel them in. Let's see who we caught. But see, I'm not a fisherman because I don't have the patience for it. But you know what's interesting is when we go fishing, like my boys do occasionally, is we'll say, hey, there's bubbles over there. Or we'll see fish swimming the top, and we'll say, hey, let's cast our reel over there, our line over there, because that's where the fish are. But we got to realize, folks, that fish aren't stupid. That when they see that line coming and that lure plopping in the pond, the river, that they begin to scatter. But yes, there are some dumb fish who say, hey, this looks interesting. Let me see what it's like, and they get caught. You see, there is such a thing as dumb fish, folks. And you and I can be like fish like that at times. Oh, let's go check it out. Let's see what's going on, and then we get hooked, and then we're being pulled out of the pond of life, and now we can't get off the hook by ourselves because the hook goes through our mouth just like it does through a fish's mouth. And we're trapped. We're left at the mercy of the person who's caught us. And when we get in temptation, we get to say, God, help me, get me out of it. And by that time, it's a little too late because we struggle and we need to really rely on God's help more so than ever to get that hook out of our mouth so that we can get back in the pond of life. You see, we have temptation all the time. Satan is throwing that lure out there, the hook, saying, hey, it's okay, it looks good. And then he hooks us, and our lives are totally ripped apart. You see what's interesting, though, when you go fishing and you cast that lure out in the pond or the river? The lure is not the temptation. What the temptation is whether or not you're going to hook on to the lure. That fish don't see that and go, oh, that's a lure. I'm not going to go near it. No, they don't see it that way. They say, hey, what's on the other side of the hook? You see, lures are the ones not tempting us. It's whether we respond to the fact if we're going to get caught on the lure or not. The Bible tells us temptation comes from things of the world. Everybody's doing it. What's the big deal? The world doesn't care about me, doesn't care about what I'm doing. See, we're told that the world is the way we should live. They come from ourselves. That we are built with something in us that says we want to do wrong. That is called sin because of what happened in the garden. That our temptations can also come from ourselves. Because you and I are built with this tendency to do wrong because that's how we're wired. We're not wired to say, yes, I want to do what God wants me to do. No, we're wired to say, hey, I want to do the things of the world. I want to do the things that I enjoy. We're wired that way because we're born with sin, and sin continually exists in us. Even when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and God sees us as perfect and holy, we still have sin in our lives. Because that sin will never go away until you and I have that perfect body in heaven. I remember that the temptation comes from ourselves. I remember it was my senior year in high school, and we had wrapped up our senior year. I went to a private school, and the church that I went to was attached to the school, and so we had our graduation practice in the church, and when the graduation practice was over, everybody walked out, and me and my friend kind of were talking. We were the last ones there, and we walked out together, and I remember I had borrowed my dad's Pontiac 6000. It was a really cool car back in 1992, and I remember him telling me, don't do anything stupid with this car. Sure, Dad, no problem. What can I do? I'm not going to do anything stupid. So as we were walking out to the parking lot, my friend had just got a new car, and we're talking. He goes, hey, do you want to race? Now, what you have to understand is the church parking lot was huge. The church and the school were built in an old plantation down in Maryland. So it was huge. And it had a mile-long circle that went around it for the road to go around everything. And the parking lot was just as big as you can imagine. And at first I was like, no, I can't do that. My dad said, not to do it. And he kept egging me on. I said, all right, fine, let's do it. So we line our cars up beside each other, and we start going, 1, 2, 3, go. And we both went. We went, and I think we kind of went up to 75 or so. We did a couple laps around the church parking lot, and we slowed down, and we joked about, wow, that was fun. And while we were talking, all of a sudden we saw somebody coming out of the church, and we took out of there because we knew we didn't want to get caught. And so we just kind of peeled out of the parking lot, hoping they didn't see us because we knew what we did was wrong. But the temptation was, oh, it's fun. Come on, it won't hurt anybody. But you know what? I could have wrapped my dad's car around a tree. I could have ran into the church. I could have flipped the car. The brakes could have given out. But those are the chances we take when we say, oh, it's just fun. No big deal. Our temptations come from the devil. Our temptations come from him and say, hey, you know what? I know what's best for you. God doesn't know what's best for you. Temptation comes from the Satan saying that he wants to give us those wants and desires that we covet, and it's no big deal. You see, we need to realize that Satan sometimes is the one that brings those temptations to us. You see, when we're tempted, though, we shouldn't feel guilty about being tempted. I think a lot of times we feel guilty when we're tempted, saying, I shouldn't be tempted. I'm doing my best to follow God. I'm doing my best, but yet we're still tempted, and that's okay, that we shouldn't feel guilty. Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just like Matthew this morning, chapter 4, that Jesus was tempted in every way, that Jesus, who is perfectly holy, perfect in God, and a human being, was tempted in every way. We shouldn't feel guilty about being tempted, folks. Because God, the creator of the universe, Jesus, who it says in Genesis chapter 1, and we will create man or image, that Jesus was there at the beginning of time and helped form the world and helped to create us, that he has been tempted in every way. He knows what it's like to be tempted and be in our shoes. You see, this morning as we look at Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus. There's no guilt. We shouldn't have to feel guilty when we're tempted. We should feel guilty when we're given a temptation, but we should not feel guilty for the temptation. Where there's a temptation, we have a choice. And that choice is we have to decide God's way or our way. You see, God tells us that we have a way out of temptation. He said, God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, he will provide a way out so we can stand up under it. Well, we say, I couldn't help it. It wasn't my fault. Satan made me do it. We say, well, you know what? If those people wouldn't have treated me the way they treated me, then I wouldn't have responded the way I did. No, God says that he gives us a way out and we have a choice. We can make excuses, we can blame others, or we can say, you know what? I'm going to own up to my mistake. I made a bad mistake. I chose and made a bad decision, and therefore I didn't take the way out that God gave me. It's my own fault because God provides a way. That God gives us the power to overcome temptation. That power is the power of the Holy Spirit. But the only way that you and I can have the power of the Holy Spirit is if we're in a relationship with God. If you and I are constantly spending time reading our Bible and praying, then God gives us that way out through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. You see, just like Jesus when he was tempted, did you hear his responses? He went back and said, no, you are supposed to live by God's word. Every word that comes from his mouth. That Jesus knew his scripture. That Jesus was filled with the Spirit and he was praying. That he overcame temptation and chose the right way out. Not because he was God's son, but because he spent time knowing God's word and praying and realizing that that's the way out. You say, well, Pastor Tom, how do you know if you're growing spiritually? Because even when I pass up temptation, I don't feel like I'm growing spiritually. Well, there is some encouragement of that, that when you give up a temptation or you say no to temptation, you're growing spiritually. That whenever we say no to temptation, we're growing spiritually. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "But run away from the evil young people do." Run away. Try to live right, to have faith, love, peace together with those who trust in the Lord and pure of hearts. Scripture says this, Pastor Tom, run away from temptation. Don't put yourself in a situation you're going to regret, Pastor Tom. You see, the Bible is real. It's practical. It still applies to our lives today. It says for each one of us, run. Don't go to temptation. Run away from temptation. Run to the right things. Run to individuals who encourage us, who want us to live right. Run together the race we have. So here are three action steps of how we can say no to temptation. It's a little simple acronym. R-U-N. Run. First of all, we need to read God's Word. R, read God's Word. If we're going to run from temptation, we need to read God's Word. You say, well, I don't own a Bible, Pastor Tom. Well, see me after the service. I will put a Bible in your hand. Well, Pastor Tom, I don't know where to read in the Bible. Start in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and go from there. It's the easiest book in the Bible to read. You say, well, Pastor Tom, how much do I read? I mean, I've been told I'm supposed to read like 2 or 3 chapters a day. Folks, there's nowhere in the Bible that says when you read it that you have to read 2 to 3 chapters a day. It says meditate on God's Word day and night. It doesn't say how much you meditate on as long as you're meditating on it. Because I'll tell you, if you read 2 or 3 chapters a day, you're going to miss the total point of what you read. It's going to be words on a page. So take little snippets of things. Take a few verses a day. Meditate on those verses. Apply them to your life. Find a time to do that, whether it's in the morning, in the afternoon, whether you're in the bathroom. Start small. The U in run is we need to use God's power. Pastor Tom, this morning, God's saying, you know what? I want to give you my power. Pastor Tom, I want to give you my power. He is saying this morning, Columbia Methodist Church, I want to give you my power. I want to give you my power to make a difference in the world. And he says that we can overcome that temptation, the power. That God says, I give you this power, and we can tap into it. You see, when we think about Acts, what happened in the book of Acts? It said, and they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That didn't just stop in the book of Acts, folks. That each and every day, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles did. But we need to not forget to ask. And that is the end. Never go without asking. Well, I want to receive power, but how do I get the power? You have to ask for the power. Never go without asking. Never say, well, you know what? I couldn't get through the temptation because God didn't give me the power to get through it. Did you ask God to give you the power to get through it? Did you say, God, today, give me the power to overcome my temptations? We said the Lord's Prayer just a little while ago. And we said, you know, God, give us the strength to not go into temptation. Is that something we just say? Or do we every day say, God, give me the strength not to go into temptation, God. Give me your power to overcome it. Then never go without asking God for his power daily. I want to imagine for a second that you're driving in a car on your way home from church today. And as you're driving, you start out going straight. But then maybe your cell phone goes off and you answer the call, or maybe you get a text or whatever it might be. Or maybe you're driving and you see something on the side of the road and all of a sudden you begin to swerve and you're no longer going straight. Whatever has gotten your attention, you begin to focus on that thing and you begin to swerve. That's how temptation is. That we can start off really well with God. That we can follow him, be on that straight and narrow, and all of a sudden, something distracts us and we kind of start swerving. I'm going to go over here. Nope, I'm going to go over here. Nope, I don't know. Where are you, God? God, why did you move? God, why are you moving? And we'll say, God, why can't you stay in one place? But folks, we're the ones that are moving. God has stayed in the same place. He never moved. But yet we'll say, God, why are you moving, when we're the ones that are moving? We're the ones moving away from God, but yet we'll say, God, just stay in one place. I remember in youth group, when I was youth pastor in Virginia, we did a skit, and that skit was, we had a chair up front here, and it was Jesus, and the person said, today, Jesus, I'm going to spend the entire day with you. And they pull out their Bible, they begin to talk to Jesus, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's a better offer than to spend time with Jesus. And so they're kind of mulling, like, okay, I'll spend maybe 5 minutes with Jesus, and I'll meet you wherever it is. And so they come over to Jesus, and they spend their 5 minutes with Jesus, and then they begin to get ready, and Jesus follows them. The person puts Jesus back in the chair and says, here, Jesus, here's a few magazines. Why don't you look through these magazines while I'm getting ready? I know I said I'll spend time with you, but I'll come back later and do it. Jesus gets up again and follows them, and again the person does the same thing until finally the person slams Jesus in the chair and he says, stay where I have put you, Jesus. Don't move. I told you, Jesus, I need to get ready to go to be with my friend. So many times we do that in our relationship with God that we put him in that chair and we say, stay where I have put you. I'll get to you when I have time. I'll get to you when I feel like it. In the meantime, Jesus, entertain yourself, because I just don't have time for it. But we wonder where God is, because we're moving away from him, but yet he's still in that same place. You see, the same thing applies to our lives, and when we take our eyes off of God's word, when we take our eyes off the cross, when we stop praying, that we're going to start drifting, folks. You see, if we want to beat temptation, we need to follow God's way out. We need to say no to temptation. We need to use his power, read his word. We need to pray and never go without asking. You see, even when we drift away, God still forgives us and he gets us back on the right path, because that's who he is, because God still loves us. So this week, as we leave our sanctuary, and for those that are online, as you go about your week this week, let's not be like that fish that gets caught on the hook of the lure. Let's not be like that dumb fish who goes, hey, this looks interesting, and then you get caught and you can't get off of it. Let's not bite on the lies of lures. You see, we have everything we need if we just focus on God. That God wants the best for us and Satan wants the worst for us. That God wants to lift us up, Satan wants to bring us down. That God wants to empower us and Satan wants to destroy us. And Satan can make that lure look really good until we get hooked and can't get out. So let's be ready this week. Let's be ready today to face temptation. And I remember back in the 80s when I was a kid and President Reagan was in office and his wife Nancy was in office, and she did a drug campaign. And if you remember anything about that, the slogan of the commercials and everything that went on was, just say no. Just say no. You see, we can apply that same message that Nancy Reagan had when she started that drug-free campaign in the 80s to temptation. Just say no. When temptation comes our way this week, let's just say no. Let us pray. God, we come before you and we give you thanks, God, that you give us a way out of temptation. But God, we got to be looking for it. God, we got to be in your word. We got to be praying. We got to be spending time with you. We got to be spending time with other individuals. We can't pass the buck and say, well, if they would do this, then I wouldn't be tempted. You can't, God, we cannot say it's not my fault, because we make a choice to get hooked or not to get hooked. God, help us not to say, well, if there was more of this or more of that, then maybe I would be growing as a Christian. God, it's a choice. We are responsible for our own growth, God, but so many times we'll say, it's not my responsibility, God. It's the pastor's responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. It's somebody else's responsibility. It's our personal responsibility. We need to take ownership for our own Christian lives and relationships. That is on us, God. And the temptation is to say, I don't have time for you. The temptation is to say, well, if this or if that. So help us today to not give in that temptation, but to look to you, God, as we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, your will, not my will, be done. Give us your bread, your holy word, God, that we can feed on each and every day. That you would give us that way out of temptation so that we can forgive others the way you've forgiven us, and so that we can allow your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. But we can't do that if we give in temptation, Lord. So give us the strength today to just say no. Amen.
In response to this morning's sermon, please stand and let's join us together. Let's join together as we sing Jesus is all the world to me.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. This is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest and grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to watches o'er me day and night, following him by day and night. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. Trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal.
Those of you that might be watching on Facebook Live, if you want to join the choir as well, you're more than welcome to. If you're at home watching us, If you would like be interested in that, please just see Melody, email her, call her, text her, and she'll put you on the list. But we want to extend an invitation not to just those that are here, but anybody at home that wants to sing and sing in the choir and is not able to, come and join us here at Columbia Methodist Church. Now, as we go this morning and we go our separate ways, let us be reminded that God gives us power, but we have to receive that power. So may you go in God's grace and God's peace and God's person, peace and mercy. Amen and amen. May you go in peace. We'll see you.